Clubhouse.
This is the true story. True story of two sassy friends picked to co-host a podcast
and have their thoughts recorded
to find out what happens.
What?
When people stop being polite.
Did you silence your phone?
And start getting real. The Real World Podcast. This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
We are so excited to bring you guys the Real World Homecoming colon, Aisha colon, New York, which makes me think, will there be more homecomings? I cannot wait.
I can't believe it. I mean, the first, hopefully, of a string of them. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't. All we do know is that this has been 30 years in the making. Oh my God.
30 years. That makes me feel so fucking old.
Well, not in the making. We should say...
Well, the reunion itself, right, was 30 years in the making. That's right.
Yes, yes.
So, you guys, this is our coverage of The Real World Homecoming, which, if you guys remember, MTV had The Real World a whole 30 years ago. This was in 1992, Aisha.
92.
So, it's technically all 29 years, but we're just going to keep saying it.
We were wee infants at the time.
We really were.
We were teens.
Just barely.
Just barely.
Just barely. Whispering into teenhood.
Right.
Yeah. We were just on the cusp of that 12, 13 when this was coming out. Man.
Wow.
Oof. I feel like The Real World taught me so many lessons, Aisha, that I did not know.
This was the first real reality type show that was out. Nobody even knew what reality TV was back then. We just knew all these people got stuck in a home and they were going to record them.
Right.
They were going to videotape their lives and see what happened. And this is kind of when MTV went away from music, right?
Yeah.
Because we all talk about what happened to MTV, you know? It went from all day, every day music videos to this shift, and people are like, whoa.
You know, do you remember that time? Do you remember things that were happening during 92? I mean, my brain was really having a bit of a moment to try to remember back to everything, and I was happy that they bothered to do that in the homecoming to say, like, do you remember, like, this is when Rodney King and, like, the non-guilty verdict was going on, and where we were in music with, like, grunge and, like, Nirvana was going
on. Nirvana, you had Criss Cross, you had all the 90210, Saved by the Bell, all of that pop culture stuff that was going on on TV.
Love it.
You know, it was crazy, right? You know, we're all wearing wacky colors.
But also a lot of plaid.
A lot of baggy clothing.
Yes.
You know, all the stuff that's already back now. You know, that's what's going on. So.
I know. I considered wearing a plaid shirt for you today.
Did you really?
Yes.
I was considering wearing my clothes backwards for you.
I wish you did.
So we could be, you know, crisscross to make you jump.
I love
that so
much. You
know, the whole just bring it back.
Yes, I love that so much.
That was amazing.
Oh my God. So this is a multi-episode docuseries, you guys. This is going to be a six-parter, which is truly exciting because I was kind of worried they were just going to give us like an hour. You know, sometimes
like
with these, these reunion shows,
they
haven't necessarily had multiple episodes. So I was excited for that. Does that seem like it fits for you that like, we have like multiple days with these people? And did you expect it to only be 6 days?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that there is multiple episodes. Yes, because I just finished watching Fresh Prince reunion and I was expecting it to be kind of like that. But to get six episodes or multiple episodes, I'm excited about that. I wish it could have been a little longer than a week. But
yeah, I was surprised when they said, oh, we only have 6 days. I was like, 6 days?
But, you know, our attention spans are so quick these days. Like, we can't handle too much. Like, we got to get this in. Got to get it done, you know? So I'm ready.
Very true. So what is your initial history with this show? I mean, did you watch the original series when it came out when we were like 12, 13?
Yep.
All right. What did you remember about the premise of the show?
Well, I remember being super excited about the show. So when I first, because being from Texas, you know, I didn't have that much knowledge as a teen about New York City. So I was a little interested on, okay, well, what's this going to be like? What's New York City going to be like with young people? Back in the day when this came out, I thought those people were old. Rewind that.
True.
Like, I was telling my 13-year-old daughter today that I thought these people were old. I take it all back.
It's unbelievably how young they were, honestly.
So, but they were, you know, they're supposed to be young people starting their lives out. And so I remember watching them and thinking, wow, this is what, like, older people are doing, like, in New York, you know?
Right.
And, like, all the stuff that they're into. And, you know, one was a rapper, one was an artist, one was a poet, one was, you know, like, a designer. There's all these different things that they did. They were all artistic. So I was definitely an artistic type person. And so I vibed with that. That's all I kind of remember. And I do remember Julie being the one odd person out. Like, she's from the South.
Yeah.
And having her accent being so strong.
Yes.
And all these other New Yorkers, like, what is this woman doing, you know?
Yeah. So I rewatched this one because I had watched it at the beginning, and I rewatched the majority of the episodes. I'm still watching them because I was kind of like letting myself simmer a little with some of the initial episodes here. I was actually surprised at my own memory. Like, I thought I remembered that everybody was coming from different places and that everyone was kind of starting their stuff in New York City. That is what I thought I remembered the premise. So when I saw it this time and I realized, like, Julie's the only one we followed in her travels to actually get to the loft. Like, she's the only one that we, like, were at the airport and we said goodbye to our mom and dad. And we totally had that moment of parents just don't understand. You know, she's like fighting with her dad. Her dad's like old school ideas. Right. And she's like, you don't understand.
I gotta get out.
Yes. Yes.
Get me out of this town, this small town.
We could understand at 12 and 13 even. Yeah. We were like, we can't wait to take over the world. My parents are so stupid.
They're so lame.
They're so lame and like close-minded, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I didn't remember that she was the only one that was coming into this mix of these people who had already started their careers. They were young, but they were already
she
going.
She was the youngest. She was 19. She wasn't even old enough to drink.
Oh my gosh. Doesn't that seem wild?
Wild.
No, here's the thing, though. Do you realize that Heather was only 20?
Yeah, Heather was 21. She said she was 21.
So when they initially started, though, she was just 20.
Wow.
And then Eric was 20. This is like all the initial stuff. This is at the time of filming.
Okay, gotcha, yeah.
Kevin was 26.
Okay,
Norman was 25. Andre was 23. And Becky was 24.
Okay, yeah.
Now, agree totally that Norman seemed like the grandpa of the group, even though he was 25.
He's like grandpa.
He seemed just so much older and just so much more established and like knew who he was and everything. Did you have like an initial from those early, early, early days? Did you have an initial like, this is the person who either represents me or that I just love?
Oh, yeah. I think when we watch any reality shows, you know, fans of reality TV, that's what we do. You latch on to your favorite immediately or whoever is getting the best edit. You know,
yes, right? And boy, do we know now. Right. Now we're such experienced reality TV watchers. We know
it's about the editing.
Those damn editors.
It's about the freaking edit.
They mess with
so,
you.
But I think back then there was not. It wasn't like that. You know, it was so new and raw. Like they didn't even come to find out. They didn't even film them 24/7.
I know.
What
which was shocking?
I know. I was like, excuse me.
How did you get the good stuff?
Right. So you know. So I yeah. You always like latched on. I loved Heather B when she first came in. Being a black woman, I was like, okay, Heather. I already knew I like was, but I had nothing in common with Heather B. Nothing. Okay. Her accent, I was like, I can listen to this accent all day because I never hear that accent.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, and she just spoke her truth from the beginning. So I loved her. Julie was just like this anomaly. Like, I was like, you know, kind of know this girl because I'm from the South, too.
We both know this girl.
Right?
Like, 1,000% we know this girl.
At the same time, I wanted her to do well. That was like, I was rooting for her. Like, I'm rooting for her to learn. And like,
so
you know, now me looking
there.
Back at this, yeah. That's me, not at 13. I have no idea what I thought at 13 with Julie. I probably was like, what is she trying to do? You know?
See, and here's the thing. I think that you and I are both probably Julie's at 19, just super naive and innocent,
naive, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And would want to be trying all these different experiences. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have wanted to be a Becky, perhaps, and I think you would have wanted to be a Heather, but deep down, we were both Julie's. We didn't know we were just Julie's,
but we were.
And definitely, I mean, I can remember freshman year of college, which is when I would say it was like the bursting out onto the scene of real world, right? I remember asking all kinds of idiot questions to people.
Oh, yeah.
That looking back, I'm like, could you have been more ignorant and naive and stupid?
Yeah.
And could you have gotten into more idiotic? Okay, let me just tell you how idiotic this was. First night I'm dropped off to my dorms, right? Nobody has cell phones yet, guys. This is like a time when you got to pick up the landline, right? And my parents drop me off and they're like, okay, see you. I go over to my boyfriend's house and decide to stay the night. Never, ever picking up the phone. They call the police. Because they just left their little girl and now they've been calling my dorm room for like 12 hours.
And nobody's picking
up. And no one's picking up. Because I'm an idiot and didn't have the full sense to stay at the dorm long enough to at least have a good night phone call with my parents.
Right.
Let them go to bed with like a good, you know, feeling about me heading off to school. Instead, I'm like, see you later. Head off with my boyfriend.
Bye-bye.
Never to return to my dorm. Like a fucking asshole. It's so mean that I did that. And guess what? Was I like having sex from the rafters that I no, we were like playing a damn board game or something. Like it wasn't so crazy, but why?
But, right.
Just such idiot choices at that age, you know? I was 17 heading off to school. So
right.
I'd have been a Julie all over this land.
Yes.
There was a moment when she rides on a Harley and the other biker gets on the, in his face in the camera and goes, I hope she has birth control. And I was like, I can remember being so like, wow, so crazy.
So crazy,
you guys. But let's talk about this cast because, you know, we had our initial ideas of who they were back in 92. So let's start off with Becky.
Are we talking about like how they look right now?
Let's do a little compare and contrast. Looks definitely come
compare
into play.
Compare and contrast. Okay.
Because how could we not? I mean, this is like a high school reunion. The first thing you do is be like, oh, she got fat.
Overall, let me just say this. Overall, I think they all look great.
I completely agree.
So I feel like, which is completely different than real life.
Touching on the how real is this real world, I see.
I mean, let's say, I'm just saying, people that you see 30 years later, they don't all look that great, you know? I mean, these on a whole, these seven people have held up quite well.
I think they've really
remarkably
well.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit of that money that they've, you know.
Oh, all that MTV since, money.
Money that they got in the since, you know? You never know. Back to Becky. I remember when I watched the show, you know, when it first aired, and I'm thinking, this girl is so cool. Like, she's like, I don't give a shit. Like, she was just this rocker. She had this air about her, like, she didn't care, you know.
She had a very, like, thrift store clothes like, vibe, and, like, the, like, red lipstick, and, like, she, like, knew how to fucking be in New York City.
Yes. She was from New York, right?
Originally hometown Pennsylvania, but...
Oh, Pennsylvania, okay.
But still,
okay.
she had been at NYU. Film school. She had worked as an actress. Like, she had to have had time there.
In the show, she mentioned that she thought she was big shit, basically.
I can imagine.
Like, I've got something to say. People need to hear me, you know?
Oh,
so I loved her confidence, even at this young age or whatever. She just was, like, super confident. So far, I like who she is right now.
Mm-hmm. We know very little about her, like, upkeep now.
Yeah.
Besides her big furry coat, which I freaking loved. When she came
it's
up
cold.
And she had the fur, like, framing her face, I was like, oh, girl, you know that's Becky.
Cause I love it. Is she a little bit of stomach showing? I was like, come on with your stomach.
I know.
Come on now.
She's such a sass.
Very sass.
Which I want to go back to that big MTV money for a moment. You do realize that they were paid $2,600 for run of that original show. Yeah.
And to think people studied this show and wrote papers on the whole experience and what this meant to television history.
$2,600 is how much they got.
Go back and get that money. Hopefully they got more money this time.
I bet they got that. Yeah. I'm going to have to do some research. On our next episode, I will have to have some more information. Yeah. Okay. So let's go over to Andre, right? Andre, for me, back in the original one, was so quiet. So background for me. Because it's interesting because he had this vibe that he was like this guitarist. He had that indie band. It was
rocker.
Called Rain Dance, but like rain like king, like rain dance. I was like, what?
Okay.
And like just completely had this vibe like that he was so cool and smooth and everything. But to be honest with you, I didn't pay a lot of attention to him in the original episodes. Really? I don't know if he was just too busy or what his biz was, but he didn't make a huge impression on me.
He was quieter, you know. Very quiet. I feel like his look was louder than his actual personality.
Oh, I like that. You know? Yes.
And I just loved, I mean, I was, you know, I'm obsessed with curls anyway. So I was obsessed with long curls that he had. I could have like run my fingers through those like all day long. So I remember being obsessed with them back in the day, and now watching the side-by-side footage that they're doing and showing
him strumming that guitar. Oh, shut up.
Just so, he was adorable. He probably was, I mean, he was second to Eric in my opinion, of course, because I was,
we're gonna
I
get did to
have,
that.
I know. I had a crush on that. I had a crush on Eric. I'm not going to lie. And who didn't?
Who didn't? Okay. Come on.
But I thought Andre was super adorable, but very quiet.
So in the homecoming, I mean, I was like with this silvery gray hair.
He looked the most different.
But the black turtleneck and the black coat, and he stood there with his hands like interlaced like he was like a minister. I was like, you look so sophisticated, so put together,
right?
So stylish. Oh my goodness. Like
classy.
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 Like, Andre. And to find out he's a papa.
He's a dad. I know. It brought a little tear to my eye when you see him strumming his guitar with his 4-year-old daughter.
I know. I mean,
for bedtime. Like, that's...
It's so
adorable.
Cute.
Adorable.
Now, here's the thing. They made it out like, oh my gosh, she's a dad, which is making me... When they were doing that, I was like, are none of the rest of them parents? Did we really have like 7 people who didn't go on to have kids? Because they were just focused so hard on this Sophie, age 4. You're a dad. Oh,
I know.
We have a dad in the house.
I think there's more kids.
I think there's more kids, too. We did meet a couple
Definitely,
of others.
Yes, we did. Julie has a couple. Yes.
Let's get into Julie.
Yeah.
So Julie comes in on the scene. Holy smokes, looking exactly the same.
Right?
Child has not changed her hair one iota.
I know that bothers you.
In a way.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's classic.
Very youthful.
It's very youthful.
Right? You know, and I'm not going
she
in for...
not cut it.
It didn't look any different. I was just so surprised.
The part stayed the same, too.
The color, crying out loud. I mean, wow. Yeah. So when she came on, I was just like... Okay, Julie, like she was a crying, nervous mess. The way that they kept side-by-siding her so quickly in the car, in the cab, in the loft. I mean, again, she seems like, I'm starting to wonder, is she going to be the full focus, like the original where it was like so heavily Julie focused?
It was that feeling of like, as we were following her in the very first round, her coming through and like witnessing what New York is like, you know? I mean, everybody else lived there, like had been to New York many times.
Right. And
this is her first time.
And they all were working at this point.
Right.
In New York
I mean, this
City,
is a kid so that just graduated high school. And
my brain blown that
right.
she was in this experience.
So she's in this cab and she's coming into New York and she's taking it all in. And I think that was just the most interesting for people to see.
She was like all of us, right?
Yeah.
Like she was like the audience stand-in, right?
I feel like she was
all of the teenagers
who
hadn't been anywhere. She was us.
Yeah. We could put our little selves in her shoes
and
be like, how
Southern, and even if you weren't a girl and even whatever, you could still feel that sense of fish out of water, being the youngest one, being the one who didn't know, you know, how to get around the city.
Right.
Oh my God. There's like one whole episode from the original where I swear to God, all she does is ask for directions. Thank you, editor. But all it is she just consistently, she goes down the subway stairs and up the subway stairs because she was at the wrong one, the down and up. She goes to a businessman, a cabbie, everyone, get in a cab and just tell them the address you're going to.
Right.
Will you already? Like, oh my goodness. But so,
God, directions.
So
Think about
innocent.
That.
Yeah. And there was nothing she could do. Think about that. You're right. She couldn't pull up her phone.
No
MapQuest, no nothing.
None of that.
She had to go and interact with everybody, which was so, so different in those original shows.
Yeah.
Every single thing they did was a physical, face-to-face human interaction with other people.
Yes.
Going roller skating. They would go to like gigs at the different bars and stuff.
Yep.
This was not like, let me see your Spotify playlist. You know, this was like, let's go and actually
be around people
music.
And do things. Right.
Yeah. And like, if you need directions, you have to go physically ask someone. Tap them on the shoulder and ask them. Wow.
It's so crazy where we've gone.
Heather B in her beeper. I was like, shut up. beep. There was like a part with the beeper. I was explaining to my son. I was like, so what would happen is a phone number would like pop up on there. He was like, and then what? I was like, well, you'd have to find like a payphone or something and try to call the number.
Call the number. You didn't know who it was.
Yeah, you still don't have a phone.
Hilarious enough. I'll tell you a little side note. One of our friends from high school just sent me the picture of her beeper that she found. She was the first person that had a beeper that I knew.
Was it Sabrina?
Yes.
I know that girl had a beeper.
Sabrina had this beeper. Girl, it was a clear one. A Motorola.
A clear one.
It was clear.
That's
so that was
classy.
Like,
yeah.
That was
yeah.
some
That's
fancy
baller
stuff.
Shit.
She found it. She sent me this picture on Instagram. I started laughing so hard. I was like, man. I remember beeping her all the time, being like, 143, love you.
Oh, I love that.
Come pick me up.
Come pick me up.
So, yeah. Beepers, the whole thing. Yeah.
I was thinking back to that, you know, when you're like trying to write a message, you're like 4444333.
Right.
To try to get to the letter.
No, that was, that's after beepers. That was the very first cell phones.
Our little texting. I know.
Flip phones.
Crazy. So Julie, before we head off of her, when they actually delved into her Where Are They Now time.
Yeah.
And
did you remember she was a dancer?
I did a little bit, only because they showed the little clips of her doing that same exact move in that same peach, pinky, biker shorts.
Right.
Doing that little jig that she does. It's just like 1 second long. She just does like a little shoulder shake, whatever. That's like it. That clip has been all over the darn place. So I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, she was a dancer. But in my mind, did I think this girl was like seeking to be on Broadway or something?
No. I didn't know that either. I didn't remember that part.
I was like, I was talking to Paul and I said, you know, I feel like Julie in Birmingham took like some after school YMCA hip hop class and they took that nugget and then they just like pushed that agenda as if she was going to become a professional dancer on Broadway.
Well, I think it just cultivated in the house. Like it just happened. She was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. You know,
I think
maybe
so
it happened because she had no idea. She was 19. Who the hell knows?
I have to tell you this because let me just read you the sentence. Okay. Julie, a Southern girl, is an aspiring dancer, though her father wants her to study to become a computer expert.
A computer expert.
That cracks me.
Is that a direct quote?
This is a Wikipedia.
Where's the degree for computer expert?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Let me go back. I'm going to read the first one of each of these. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Becky is the daughter of a psychiatrist father and a German immigrant mother who runs an antique store in Philadelphia to which her family moved when she was 13. What?
Okay.
Okay. Ready? Andre is a singer and guitarist in an indie rock band called Rain Dance, with whom he's played for 3 years and with whom, how many whoms could we get?
Oh.
He moved to New York exactly 1 year prior to moving into the Real World Loft. Oh my God. Okay. Heather is a hip hop artist with the group Boogie Down Productions, who is on the verge of getting her big career break. That's it. Norman, who is of Sicilian descent, left Michigan to find a career in painting with his partner, formed a company called Gouda, named after Norman's dog. Eric is a print and TV model who has been working for in New York for a year, having just begun doing commercials. Kevin, the oldest member of the cast, is a poet, writer, and educator. Period.
That's it.
Yep. No German descent immigrants.
No, right.
Background.
Very interesting
what his parents
this
do.
This is
for
their
a
original
living.
Descriptions.
These are their original biographies that were, or at
How
least,
funny.
I don't, you know, it's Wikipedia. So, so this is what it says. And I was like, okay. I mean, it goes into whole paragraphs, but I was just like, oh my gosh. Julie's line, you guys, when it says, I went around the world just to end up in the same place. How did you feel about that?
I can kind of relate to it, honestly.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Is that where you go with this?
I'm not pushing it anywhere. You talk about if you
don't
have it, you're like, dear diary.
I know, right? Now she's triggering my emotions. What happened here?
Go on now.
No, I can totally relate. I mean, I definitely could see myself in that in a way because you know, I traveled the world too. I went all around the world, traveled,
lived different places,
lived outside the country, and then just ended up back where I started as well. So, yeah.
How many streets away would you say you are from where you grew up?
You're really pushing it right now.
I'm not, because you know I've got the same damn story, child.
No, I'm really just a few streets, maybe.
Yeah, from where you grew up.
One little neighborhood over.
Your kids go to the same high school that.
Absolutely. That we kids went go to the same high school. So,
it's relatable.
It is relatable.
See, you wanted to be Heather B, but you're Julie. Julie. And that's the thing. I mean, same story here. I mean, yeah. I lived different places. I went to college away. I've traveled Europe. I've done different things. Right. And know what? I live half a mile away from where I grew up. My elementary school, my right high school is right around the corner here. So just so you know, I didn't think about that before I just asked you that question.
Okay, good.
So
okay,
in my head.
This is a response that you're getting right now.
So in my head, I was thinking, I'm so sad for Julie. That this is what happened to her. That is what I was thinking. When I started to ask you that question,
yes.
I was thinking, what a sad, disappointing story that Julie ended up back with the guy that she's known for forever since she was like so young, back in her same town. I mean, literally, I went, Birmingham! She's back in Birmingham! Like, I did that. I did that.
Really, Julie, really?
And then I'm like, really, Caroline?
Really, Aisha?
Like, oh, damn.
Oh, it's so is us.
Again, it's so is us. I thought I was a Becky, but I am a Julie.
You ain't a Becky. No.
I ain't Becky with the good hair. No. I'm Julie back at home. Cooking dinner with my children. Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't even know until we just were talking. I'm having a moment.
And it turns out she was like the person that was like the anomaly, right? She was the exception to the rule on all these other house guests. Mm-hmm. And now she's the one that we all can really relate to. That's very, very interesting.
Well, and I really felt like they took her and they were like, everybody seemed to take some amount of responsibility for her. Like they needed to teach her something. Like Norman definitely took her under his wing. Right. Eric most certainly did. Mm-hmm. Kevin and her had a lot of conversations, some very positive, some more negative more explosive. But there was like real times where I felt like, and definitely Heather absolutely like scooped her up and was like, all right, let me like bring you to my studio where I lay my tracks, you know, whatnot, right? All of that. I mean, I was like, wow, the focus was so on Julie. But I guess I never, ever realized we were Julie all along.
This is really, really interesting, folks.
We were Julie all along.
It's like,
oh my God.
It's just like when the movie reveals something and you're like, wait a minute.
I was Julie all along. And I still am.
What the fuck?
Oh my God. Okay, let's get back into our characters here. How about old Norman? Norman
I
of Sicilian descent.
Of Sicilian.
Let me tell you why.
I never thought that.
In the original series, when Kevin and Julie have the big argument, the big, big, big one, Norman says, my Sicilian blood was pumping. So I feel like someone had to bother to put in, who is of Sicilian descent? Had to go on and put this on air. Yeah, so Norman, he was so cute. I always thought of him as like this grandpa-y father figure in The Loft because he was so sweet, so like level-headed. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can remember parts where he was like walking the dog and someone would be yammering at him.
Right.
And his face would be very like thoughtful, contemplative.
Right. He wasn't quick to make any like, you know, harsh comments or anything. He was pretty like level-headed.
Now, I never really absorbed the fact that Norman was bisexual.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
In my head, I always thought he was gay.
Right.
And that's kind of where I left it. Bisexuality, for me, would have blown my brain at 12 years old, I think.
Is he bisexual currently?
He says.
I didn't know if that was how he identified. So he identifies as a bisexual man.
It says, Norman explains his bisexuality by saying, as a Pisces, he's always looking to be open-minded with whom to love. There's a lot of whom in this writing. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Okay.
I always loved him because, again, he was
just liked his personality.
He was so genuine.
Yeah.
He just seemed like he was just such a wonderful
guy. Sweet
guy, yeah. We've seen little clips moving forward, and I think we're going to get more into it about how him coming out sexuality-wise affected his, quote, real life, and how he was accepted or not by different people. And
I'm looking forward to that, to hearing
that. I want to hear more about those stories, for sure.
Because I think it's going to be... a big tearjerker.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, what were your first impressions when Norman came in the loft this time?
He looked like a farmer from, like, Nebraska or, like...
That's what I was like. He looks like a hunter, like an outdoorsman.
I was like, what's going on here with this?
Here was the kicker. The hat with the sunglasses, like those, like, Ray-Ban Oakley-type sunglasses wrapped around the front.
He looked like he does a lot of outdoor work.
What? I looked back at the original. He was wearing a golf shirt. I was like, what the heck, Norman? Yeah, I thought that part was
your
like...
Your style went down the drain.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll see more. I mean, maybe this is his traveling outfit. Although they knew they were on camera. So, I mean, I don't know.
One of my favorite lines of this Homecoming episode was when they said, Norman, you're going to have to be the Eric of the loft. You'll have to take your shirt off. And he goes, you'll need to prepare yourselves.
That's such...
So cute.
That is such a grown ass.
He has such a dad bod with the little bell, and it was so cute.
Tut 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 on the dad bods.
Okay, but it was adorable. Okay, it was adorable.
It was adorable. Norman is always going to be adorable.
Yes, he really, really.
Regardless of what he's wearing, because he's just got that kind of personality, and I think we are just endeared to him. So,
all right, so we have to hit Heather. So when she went, what did you ever feel about her? Like initially. You said you like totally wanted to be Heather.
Well, I mean, I just liked her personality. I'm an extroverted person, as you are. Mm. I just like loud people and people who like come into a room and just make their presence known. And she does.
Yeah.
She still did, and she still does, which I love. So when she walked in, and she just the way she squealed, that would be me. Like before I even opened the door, I'd be like, like that would be me. I wouldn't see me first. You just hear a scream before I walked the door.
I loved everything she was wearing. Like I loved how like sleek everything
very cute.
Looked.
Yes.
Like it was very like just put together and like loved her boots. I loved her hat.
Yes.
Oh my God. I loved everything she was doing and she looked fantastic.
Yes, she did.
But let's talk about the most important part about Heather in the Now.
What is that?
Heather in the Now is fantastic because she has an actual suitcase to carry her alcoholic beverages about.
She got a rolling bar.
Shut up. Okay, girl. Now listen, I'm not saying you're Heather B, but I am saying that of anyone I know, you're going to roll up with that rolling bar.
I mean, I'm scratching the back of my head a little bit.
Every hotel to the side, guys. We have ever stayed at, my good friend, I should be over there. Stops at a liquor store before we're there and sets up a bar in the room.
Who doesn't?
In the room with
Please,
us. And I'm always
audience,
like,
tell me who does that.
She's got like her stack of solo cups.
I need
she's
mixers. I need limes cut up already.
Freaking love it. She's got a Ziploc bag of limes, y'all. I'm not shitting you. We're going for like a one nighter just to get away from everybody. And this
Take
is girl.
Salt. Yes. Some limes, yes. You know, tequila, we good.
See, Heather B is in your
but
soul.
But she had the whole bar set up, which is great.
Good
and they were
her.
Laughing so hard. And also the fact that when she came in the door, she was like, oh, whose champagne is this?
Yes.
Like, that would be me.
Yes.
Straight to that. Let's get this started, you know?
So why have we not already been pouring? What's the problem?
What's going on? Because they said, we should open this before she gets here. They knew.
I love that.
And just as my friends would do for me.
Just as your friends would
they
do
would
for
do
me.
It, yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's get into Kevin. Kevin in the past, Kevin current.
I really got to say, when I was making notes about this episode, I wrote down, Kevin spoke the truth. That's my statement. Kevin spoke the truth back then, and he speaks the truth now. I think a lot of people learned from Kevin. Countless, millions, however many people watched the show from the beginning, learned tons from Kevin. And now to see how he's worked with kids, with educating people. He's been doing this since the 80s and the 90s. How he said Black Lives Matter, BLM, the whole movement, that stuff's been already going on.
Yeah.
We've been doing this since the 80s and the 90s. This is nothing new. And he's been woke since then. It's perfect to have this to have him back on television right now. And so I'm very interested to the conversations that he's going to have over this next week.
I agree with you. I wish that I could transport into my 12, 13-year-old head to see and understand what I understood he was saying then. Because
right.
I think that you know, obviously the way that it was edited, and I'm certainly leaning heavily on the editing, there was so many moments where it was heated conversations or more than that, sometimes even seeming like an argument, you know? I mean, certainly now as an adult listening to this, I'm like, oh my God, how depressing is it that the exact same words could be used today? Like that part bothered me a lot. Like I was like, we have moved nowhere in almost 30 years that these same exact conversations are exactly what we're having. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I was actually really surprised with some of the vocabulary, some of the language that was being used back then in 92. Like when Heather says you're bitter.
Oh yeah.
Really, now as an adult, like I'm sure that went right by my head as a 12-year-old. I'm sure it did. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, whoa, that is something like unbelievably insensitive to say to somebody else. Like
the whole stereotype of the angry black man, the angry black woman, you know, the bitterness, this, all those type of strong terms that trigger.
And like marginalizing.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you just personally have your own chip on your shoulder, so we can discount you.
Right. Exactly. Which is, oh God, I know. And the funny thing is like, even Heather, as a black woman in the house, she even was like, look, I'm trying to come in here and have some fun. Mm-hmm. You know, this 20-year-old Heather that comes into this house, she said on this episode that, you know, this opportunity, they're going to give me a house in New York. We're going to have fun. Like, we're here to party, blah, blah, blah. They had no idea what was going to go on. So she's like, why are you, Kevin, so serious? What is wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? Why are you not having fun? And she said it took her to grow up and realize what it all meant.
Right.
Which is funny. She was living it with him. She is a woman of color.
Right.
She could experience, she's experienced the same stuff that he's experienced, maybe not to the same extent. And just to have her think, well, why are you acting like this? So it was almost like he was the outcast. Kevin was the outcast on this show.
And part of that, I also feel like it was their ages. I mean, when you're 19, 20 versus when you're 26 and you've been in the world, you know, you've seen and done so much more.
Absolutely.
And those years matter between 20 and 26. I went from
big time.
A college student to a mom by the time I was 26.
Absolutely.
I
had same here.
All three of my kids by the time I was 26. So the idea of like how much had I changed from that point to 26, I mean, just light years. So in one way, outcast is definitely accurate, but also they were just like in different phases of life.
That's true. You're right.
In a way that was like, he was so much more informed and like educated from the standpoint of like those 5 years, I feel like, or 5 or 6 years, like, oh my gosh, I feel like it's when your eyes do open up to what the world is doing and
that's
what
you're supposed to grow up, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think so. I mean, that's why you get to stay on your parents' insurance till like 26 now, right? Because like they understand, like, you don't get your shit together.
You don't know what
until you're older.
I don't know how we ended up being moms already by that point. Jesus.
So my degree is in child development. Do you know, like, your frontal lobe, specifically from men, it doesn't even fully mature till you're 25.
Shut up.
That's why
scientifically that's true.
Yeah. And that's why like car insurance is so expensive for especially boys until you're 25. You can't rent a car till you're 25.
That's true. I didn't know that.
So society understands that you're not understanding shit till you're 25, okay?
Like, we're all okay, right? This is what we all agree on? Okay, 25?
We do. I mean,
you don't know shit until you're 25.
You don't know shit until you're
25. And then 26, you better know some stuff.
Yeah, Kevin's like, you're 26, you better know.
You better know.
I appreciated the fact that he said at different points, maybe he could have had a different approach in terms of meeting people where they were. Because I think that that's a part that we're all still struggling with. You know, like, if you encounter somebody who honestly is saying to you, like maybe Julie, a Julie of the world, I want to learn and I want to understand. There is an approach where you get instantly angry at that person that they aren't already educated versus okay, where are you now? I will give you some more information, whatever. I thought that was interesting that he said that in the homecoming. That
yeah,
he was like,
the emotional maturity
term. I thought that was fascinating and like something that is hopefully could like get back into our discourse as adults.
Well, I gotta say, you know? When you're saying that, makes me think of Kevin's talking to her daughter. I'm gonna be honest. I teared up. Teared up because it was a moment where it was like he asked her what the daughter's doing, and she is working at the Alabama Civil Rights Building, and she's given tours to, you know, Nancy Pelosi. She's given tours to the late John Lewis. He's like, wow, you're making a change. You're doing something. And it's like, it was a moment where I was like, wow, this is, look at what that did for Julie's life.
Yeah.
And how it affected her kids and her future, you know?
And maybe stopping the cycle and changing the generational.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. And I loved it. And I teared up. I literally had to reach for a tissue and wipe my face because I was like, what is going on? Like, why am I so emotional? But it was emotional because I think they had such friction, those two.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And at the same time, had such, like, a genuine caring for each other. Because if you watch that whole first original series, there's different points where Kevin is like, so they have this dinner party in the original one, right? And they think it's really funny if they trick Kevin. Because Kevin says he will help cook the first meal, right? But he doesn't show up. He forgets.
Okay, yeah.
And so. So they decide to put these different personas in a fish tank and pull them out. She gets like this kind of slutty persona, right? So she wears these like little biker shorts and like no, you know, like her midriffs there. She's wearing like red lipstick. She has her hair real curled and big and stuff. And when he comes in, she acts all like clingy and weird, like hanging on the men and stuff. He gets so disturbed that he thinks that Julie has been like corrupted, that he can't stand it. Like he leaves. And it's out of like this like
genuine concern, huh?
Yeah, that he that he felt like it was like a like horrible.
What did you guys do to her?
Basically, or what did New York City do to her? Or what did this experience do to her? Or whatever. And like he couldn't abide by it. Like he left over the whole thing. And so, So again, and they both say it during the series at different points that they're like, we do honestly want to have this conversation. We just can't seem to have the words. I'm interested to see how this moves forward, you know? And I think that I love the fact that we got a little more insight into Kevin that I can tell you in watching the old series. I haven't seen them ever touch on this. When he says they just didn't ask me the right questions about who I was in the casting, that he wasn't cast as an angry black man. He was always an activist. He was always actively doing things in the community. Like he just said, they never asked me.
Interesting.
What I was doing and what I was up to. And what
do you think that he? Here's a question for you. Do you think he kept that quiet on purpose so that he could have a voice when it came down to it? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to make my voice heard, and this is how I'm going to do it.
I definitely think that it would have been smart if he thought I should hold that, you know, sort of just hold my cards against my chest, if you will. And when it's the right time, I will absolutely speak my mind in terms of just knowing that, you know, this is MTV first time, whatever. They probably are looking for a certain person. And if I want to get into the position of being able to have my voice be heard, I just need to be that person until I'm in front of the camera.
That would be something if we ever got to interview him, I would ask him that. I would ask him, did you know? Did you? And since you disclosed that they didn't ask you those questions, did you purposely hold back?
Or did you not volunteer any info just because, you know, why, you know? Yeah. Which I appreciate. And he had a smile on his face when he said that part where he said, they didn't ask me the right questions, that I was like, okay.
Minx.
Yeah, a little, but not. I really felt like I'm so glad he was on because honestly, there were so many conversations. Now, when you look at MTV, I mean, they try to bring up tough issues, you know, whether it's sexuality, whether it's, you know, different political issues. They try to approach subjects with teens on MTV.
Directly. And
so I appreciate that whether they knew it or not when they did the casting.
Yeah.
They did create a dialogue.
That's that little bit we miss.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day of like, I don't want to say like truth in television because I mean, how, I don't know, you know, like how truthful are we going? But almost that like where it's not so like, sometimes we watch these shows and I'm like, oh my God, that's so fake. Literally, I can see the producer saying, okay, next I'm going to ask you about this, blah, blah, blah. Now you're going to speak on it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just feel that it's so manipulated. That's the word.
Like we were manipulation. Saying Survivor manipulation.
Manipulation, okay?
Yeah.
So we're bringing it back, the manipulation. Yes. I feel like there was there was so much less manipulation 30 years ago.
I agree with you fully in them actually injecting, you know, perhaps certain things. Although there was some moments like, okay, so Eric was in a book where he had nudity in it. And the producers... Yes. purposely put the book in the loft. And Heather B. found it and teased him about it, right? Most of us would think, well, Eric would get pissed at Heather, but he didn't. He got pissed at the producers for putting that on set and for basically instigating teasing.
So there was manipulation, obviously. Yeah.
Well, and you can see, like, in the first episodes, they have this like, love and sex book. Oh. And they'll, like, sit there and they'll flip through and they'll be like, how adventuresome, you know, would you say you are? Like, they'll ask each other questions, obviously instigate conversations. So. Right. But, I mean, that's, like, conversation starters. That's not the same thing as, like, we're going to have a birthday party for blah, blah, blah. You know, and, like, manipulate who comes and who doesn't come.
This is what I'm saying. That was the level of manipulation, all right? Leaving a book.
Yes.
And then letting it happen.
Right, right.
It's different than, let's say, a reality show now where they're like, we're all going to put you all in this trip. Yeah. We're going to take you to Jamaica. And we're going to put all of you in a house. And we know three of you hate each other.
Right. No, it's
and
like,
you and said shit about each other constantly.
And your
but
exes,
we're going to work all this out right now.
And your exes are going to come back.
Right. Or whatever.
Like,
you know what I mean?
The next door neighbors. And like shit like that. Yeah. There's always that added.
We have gotten so far past.
Yeah.
Just leaving a book or leaving a note or leaving something to like, and then everybody discuss. Yeah. We'll just be here with these cameras.
You're so right. Well, I'm looking forward to Kevin and these episodes and them shining a light back on the original episodes. And even for my own self, like I said, we were so young when these came out. Yeah. We were like just barely old enough that we should have been allowed to watch MTV, really.
Right.
I'm interested to see what they decide to say about everything and about how they had Heather absolutely say, where's the lie? And
where's
look at
lie?
All them, right?
Yeah, where's the lie?
But I'll be interested to see how everybody else reacts because I didn't see that in this episode. So
yeah.
I guess we'll see where that one goes.
We have one last character that we have to talk about. And
O-M-G.
We cannot forget about Mr. Abs.
Eric,
who is now a spiritual guru.
I know.
Could we? And sadly, though.
This was so weird. Did you see this coming?
No, I didn't see this part coming.
Okay, even when they had him on the video screen, did you see it coming?
Yes. When I saw that, I knew exactly what that meant.
You did? Okay.
I was like, his ass ain't coming.
His ass ain't coming, but did you know because he had COVID?
Yes, because they had talked about being in a pandemic.
I was like, what is happening at this point? What is going on? Like, I thought he was going to say, like, oh, you know, he'll be there tomorrow or something like that. But I was like, what? And then, man, that was so depressing. I felt like it took the oxygen out of the
room. It really
did.
Because they really, I think, I mean, to spend all this time, right? Mm. And to be here now, 29, 30 years later, and have this finally happen. And they can't get all seven of them together, you know?
It's insane. It's
so
insane.
So real life right now. I can't even like.
Yeah. It's so real world.
So
real world.
I just got goosebumps.
Oh my God. That's the thing. It was like, that was the real world. And he actually.
That's as real as you could get.
It truly was. I was floored. Seeing him in that little sweater. That was just so cute. Like I'm doing my Alexis Rose hands.
I know, right.
Like
and he had this little and his tea. Yes, I know.
And his like necklaces and everything. Like he was so calm and like he was so. I mean, tell me about original Eric Love because you had some original Eric Love.
Well, I just. I mean, it's. I just say it right now. I mean, I love a man that can dance. So like this man, he was gorgeous.
Yeah,
he's still fine.
I know.
Dude, I mean, he's still fine.
I know.
He's just a good looking man, period. So like back in the day, he just was so, he had a killer body.
Yes.
He could dance. He just looked, he's a model.
They kept showing, he would like hold onto the back of the cab and he was like rollerblading and he was wearing this plaid shirt and it would like balloon out behind him like he was like a superhero cape and he was like, and his abs are like pumping. You're like 12-year-old. You are like, I feel funny.
Mommy, why do I feel like this?
Oh
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Like, he was
hot. Knew. I mean, he was hot. He's still hot. But I think it's interesting that he's changed so much. I mean, he probably had the most fame after the show, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So they actually went into his background a little bit more, too. So he did the grind workouts, which I completely...
Do you remember those?
Yes!
I remember. I had them.
Me, too. And the bandana little, like, scarf action that he was wearing. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, my gosh.
That was
like flashbacks.
Yep.
Road rules, of course,
yep,
and
him
hosting on MTV.
Uh-huh.
All of those things. And then he was just like, he's talked about that, and then how he's just like, and then there's now. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
What did you do from like hosting MTV like a couple years later to like
18 years later.
Yeah. And then it turned out his 18 years sober. Okay.
Sober, right.
Excellent. Whatever. But then, and then like now he's just.
He says helping people.
Yeah,
I wonder if he's like a therapist or.
He seems like someone who would like
the spiritual healer.
Okay. You know, like there's like, he seems like someone who would lead like a retreat.
Like he'd be at a retreat, right?
Yes.
He'd be like, you go sit with Guru Eric.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And like do yoga,
yes.
Meditate, go on long walks.
Absolutely.
Those
kinds
of things.
I would pay for that.
I know you would. You'd be like, how are those abs working out for you? Although they showed that yoga picture.
Take your shirt off.
Did you see that yoga picture?
Yes, I did.
Hello. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He's living a good, clean, healthy life.
He looks like he could get right back into modeling, I'd say. If he's, I don't know what happened exactly, but seems like he could have.
He's now surpassed that. He's surpassed modeling. Not he's risen to a higher being.
He really has. It's more than about the outside.
About
his inside.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think him and Heather B have a connection, and she's super sad that he's not there. So I was with her. I was like, yep.
I know. She was so...
Like, I got you tea. That would be me. I brought you the good stuff.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. So much. One thing I super loved about this first episode was the side-by-sides. The way that they shot this, I think visually, loved that they were back in the original loft.
Yes.
Loved that they got that. Loved that they showed us the side-by-sides. And oh, my God, I almost like... You teared up at different points. I teared up when they showed the pictures of Gouda and Smokey, the cat and the dog.
Aww.
I was like, because you're like, wait, they're not alive? It's like 30
like,
years later.
I know, you're like,
wait, dogs and cats don't live that long? Wait, what? Like,
are they?
Because nobody else, we didn't have that. Like Heather pointed out multiple times, like, it's kind of a miracle that we're all alive and we're all here and we can all be together.
Exactly.
And so when it was like Gouda and Smokey were gone,
so
RIP.
So... Norman's dog was Gouda.
And Smokey was actually Heather's cat.
This is how out of touch I am with animals. Not that I don't like animals. I love animals.
Names.
No, that I didn't remember that there were animals on the show.
Oh, well, Gouda, you would probably remember just because of how often they were walking the dog.
Oh, maybe.
They seemed to be walking that dog.
I don't recall any dogs or cats on that show.
Loads of conversations of them dog walking.
Really?
Yeah, Heather and Julie or Norman and Eric or whatever.
God.
Like,
they would never do that now.
Don't you remember that scene where Gouda starts running and Heather like hits her knee, like she falls on her knees?
Oh yeah.
And she's like, that dog. Because he like started to run and he was like a Great Dane or something. He's big.
Yeah.
So
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Now that you said
the funniest thing is that the dog is there, the cat is there. Kevin comes in and goes, I thought they said no animals. It's like, oh my God, that's so funny.
That would be me.
But oh my gosh, so just the way that they shot this and had the back and forths was so
amazing. I think we needed that. Because, I mean, you know, when you're watching something, especially a reunion type show, you want that. You're having all of that reminiscing in your mind already. You want to compare. You want to compare all the stuff. So I love that they shot it like that. And they showed us the comparison of the two, you know, the same loft, where they're in the same areas, the same spaces, you know, of course not going to be on a phone or on the corded phone anymore, but you know, different things that we wanted to like remember, and they put it all right there for you. You know, I loved it.
That also being in the exact space, like I feel like space has memory to it, like space itself. And so when you saw them, it was so interesting how they would go to sit on the couch and then a second later they would start to sit on the couch the same way they did.
Yeah.
And then they show you the side-by-side, and you'd see them, like, kind of morphing into,
like... Do you think
like,
they placed them?
I don't
just
know.
Just for the look?
I mean, surely they could have. I mean, you know, manipulation.
I know. Kind of wonder if that was the case. Like, just for the shot.
Yeah.
Just for the shot, and since we're going to use this as the, you know...
The side-by-side?
Yeah, the side-by-side.
Or
like,
even
hey,
just
you guys
your own,
sit this way.
Your own memory of, like, you know, like, when you go to sit down at, like, a kitchen table or something, like, everybody kind of had their seats. Or if you're
you
going to sit down
to
on
the
couch,
same spots.
You go back to the same spots.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see, like, that corner spot is, like, Heather always sat, like, in the corner of this of the one part of this of the couch, and she went right back there and curled her legs up in the same exact freaking way. And you're like, oh my God, that's so weird. Or like, who's going to end up cooking meals or being in the kitchen? When you think of how familiar the space would be to you.
I know.
I mean, even Kevin was like, I picked our same room. Like, he didn't have to, right?
No.
But like, just having that like memory of the space and kind of just immediately falling into old habits. Fascinating. People are such creatures of habits.
I think if somebody dropped you back into your, like, let's say your college apartment or your college dorm room or whatever.
I'd be like, like my room's over here. I know exactly where
I would
go.
Know, I would go my freshman year. I'd know exactly because we had a suite. So we had four rooms and, you know, with a living room attached. I would know exactly where I'd go. I know in that where I would sit in that suite. You know what I mean? Yeah. It would be, we would all do it. Yeah. All eight of us, 2, 4, 6. Yeah. All eight of us would go back into those spots.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. But it's so true. And they did it. And it was like amazing to see it. Even just the small moments of like them getting up to the elevator and you could see it wash over them that they like, were in the same hallway.
Because they're like freaked out. They're like, holy shit.
It was like seeing a ghost.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's the same elevator. Because I'm sure how different could a freaking elevator look?
Being in New York City, I've been there lots of times.
It's the same.
It's the same. Although I got to say, seeing how, I'm sure this is just the way that it was shot and stuff, but New York City is much more cleaned up and stuff now, 30 years later.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, now, pandemic wise, can't say, haven't been there, but I would say, I mean, all the like planters in Times Square and crap like that versus like, you know, far grittier than that before. I mean, I appreciated getting to see it back and forth. I thought this episode was such an amazing blast from the past.
Yeah.
Like going back and like reliving all of those things. I loved it so much. I'm so glad we're covering this. Did you see upcoming episodes? Did you have any predictions of what we might see, what they might talk about?
Well, they were, you know, they showed a little this season on. Looks like there's some conflict. And I'm very curious to see. Looks like somebody leaves or... We'll see if that really is what they're trying to lead us to think. You know, maybe they're just going to go to lunch. Who knows?
Right. They had their suitcase, but they could have just...
They just went home. Turns out they came back in 30 minutes.
Exactly right. They just went to go get a sandwich.
Right. So there's some conflict. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And hearing Becky say that some people have changed and some people have stayed the same.
Ooh.
That's really an interesting statement. Interested to find out what's going on with that and who's she talking about.
Remember when VH1 used to have like the Where Are They Now?
Yeah, yeah.
Behind the music-ish kind of stuff, right? All that stuff, that's how I feel like this is. Like, it's like we can meet these characters and then we get the behind the music part where you get to remember what they were like way back when. Right. And then also we get to get filled in as to like, where are they now? What the heck happened in all these years? That is like the most perfect show for us.
It's very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
We need to know. What National Enquirer? Inquiring minds want to know. Need to know.
Exactly. And who knew I needed closure from the real world?
I needed a lot. No, I didn't know until it showed up.
But now I know and I now need this I need closure. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're looking forward to bringing you this show every week. We've got the 6 episodes coming in this docuseries, and we cannot wait to talk to you guys more about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to please rate, review, and subscribe to The Real World Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars, people. 5 stars.
Give it to us.
Give us some closure. Yeah, turns out we need it.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.